Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Colts Cover 2 podcast. I am Indy Star Colts insider Jim Aiello, and I am joined, as always, by fellow insider and co-host Joel A. Erickson. Joel, I'm just going to be honest with you. We were talking right before we started here. The Colts got thumped 45-26 by the Titans. They fall a game back of the Titans in the AFC South race, and I'm just not that worried. The Colts were ridiculously banged up today, losing. I mean, I wrote this in my story, but they had, if you made a list of their five best players, most important players, it's DeForest Buckner, it's Anthony Costanzo, it's Phillip Rivers, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, and Darius Leonard, I think are in that 5-6 range. I mean, unless it's six guys, just because it would be safe. Three of them didn't play, and two of them were playing hurt in Rivers and Quentin Nelson, both of them who entered questionable today. I just think the Colts were playing with a hand tied behind their back, and it showed today against a pretty good Titans team.
Yeah, the problem is, like, you still have to get a win out of that somehow, I think.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
If you're going to be what I think most people want this team to be, which is like a contender, you have to be able to get a win out of that. But I think what we've seen is that this is more of a wild card, like, maybe challenge for the AFC South Division, although that's going to be a lot harder now. They basically need the Titans to fall apart down the stretch. I think the injuries matter, but they've also got to be better than that. They've got to be better than giving up 35. If this defense is what it supposedly was coming into this, supposedly elite defense, you can't give up 35 points in the first half. You just can't.
I think this is one of the first times after a game you and I like kind of disagree on the diagnosis of it, which is fine, which is good. I mean, it makes for a lively debate. And you're not wrong. I mean, you can't listen. Let's talk about some of the obvious. Like you said, they gave up 178 rushing yards to Derrick Henry. I think it was over 230 total rushing yards.
Yeah, I just know they ended up with 454 total yards. That's by far the most they've given up this season.
Yeah.
First time they've given up more than 400. It's also only the fourth time they've given up more than 326. If you give up 326, you're a top five defense.
35 points in the first half. They haven't given up 35 points all season in a whole game. So clearly they were bad. I will say that there was an indictment of a few players on the defense. Grover Stewart just got paid, $30 million man. He's meant to be a run-stuffing defensive tackle. He was supposed to be. I mean, you and I talked about this too. We said, well, if you're going to miss where DeForest is really going to hurt is missing in the pass rush. And DeNico missing in the pass rush. Well, it turned out we were probably a little bit wrong. I totally agree with you. They needed DeForest Buckner in the run game more than ever. I mean, he's played some excellent football this season. I don't think he's ever been more important than today when he just wasn't here.
Yeah, I mean, if based on the way the Colts defense looked today, you'd say DeForest Buckner's the defensive player of the year, without question.
Yeah, I
although Aaron Donald also had an insane game, and he'll probably be the actual defensive player of the year.
Correct. But Buckner's case went up a bunch.
Buckner's case went up a bunch, even though he only has 2.5 sacks, just because you take him out of that defense. There were a lot of times that I saw Taylor Stallworth moving down the line, trying to do the things Buckner does, where he goes down the line and makes a tackle, and he missed every time. He never got there because he's Taylor Stallworth, and he's not an athletic freak. And he's a guy who's been okay when he's been given 15 snaps, but he can't play the 40 or so he played today. This is another place we disagree. I thought that this was a game where we saw that as good as they've done building the defensive line, it's not where they want it to be yet. And I think it showed up in the fact that Stallworth had to play so many snaps.
Yeah.
I think it showed up in the fact that Cassius Marsh had to play so many snaps.
Yeah.
A guy who really just shouldn't be playing for this Colts defense.
For it. And you're not wrong. That's an indictment of Ben Vanagoo. But I will say that Taylor Stallworth played all those snaps because DeForest Buckner was hurt, and because DeNico Autry was hurt, and because Kamoko Ture is hurt, and because they just are dealing with a ridiculous amount of injuries right now.
They are, but the standard that Ballard has set himself, and Eberflus has been there, is they want to have 8 or 9 guys all capable of getting after it. If you take 3 away from 8, you have 6. And they really only had 4 today. They really only had 4 guys that they've counted on at any point this season. And the rotation has really been 6 when you start looking at it.
Yeah.
The rotation has really been 6 guys. It's been Houston, Stewart, Buckner, Autry, Muhammad, and Tyquan Lewis.
Right, yes.
That's the 6. And if you had 8 or 9 and you lose those 2 guys, you still have 6. Today, they lost 2 of them and they had 4, essentially. And Taylor Stallworth is playing a role. He's probably not good enough to play. Can he be good in 12 snaps or 15 snaps?
Yeah.
Yes, but he's If that happens and he has to play 40, it's bad.
I will say this. It's an indictment to, like you said, of the draft that the Ben Vanagoo hasn't hit. Kimoko, again, you can say what you want, but he hasn't played. And then I will say that, you know, Sheldon Day was brought here to be that key depth and got beat out by a guy like Taylor Stallworth. So if that's what Taylor Stallworth's going to be, then Ballard didn't do his job in finding the right depth behind those defensive tackles. I agree with you there.
I'm not saying that they can't get there. I mean, Kimoko Ture could come back. He had a devastating injury. It's tough for him to come back. Like, he could get back to his former form. Maybe Ben Bannock, who suddenly the light goes on and he starts playing more like Tyquan Lewis has this season. I'm just saying it's not there yet. If it is, you don't get overpowered the way they did today. They didn't have a single quarterback hit from the defensive line against a team that has on their third left tackle.
I agree, and I will say that I think the defensive line ended up having that. It's what we talked about this whole time. The defensive line, that's why Ballard builds from the inside out, right? Is the defensive line is the key to all this, because I thought, and you and I talked about this during the game, something we did agree on, Darius Leonard didn't play that well today. Or at least every time I watched him, he had a blocker on him. Couldn't get off. And again, I think that is, he talks about it all the time, because, you know, give him credit for passing credit to his teammates. He talks about all the time how important Grover and DeForest Buckner are for absorbing blockers and letting him, freeing him up to make plays, which he does. Today, if he was making plays, it was 8, 9, 10 yards down the field most of the time because he hadn't been able to get off the block.
Yeah, they did not fill very well. Neither him or Walker.
No. Again, Okereke, by the way.
In the past, Okereke was out. But those two linebackers, that's who the starters have been the last couple of years, and they had a good run defense. And they didn't make many plays beyond the line of scrimmage, especially in the first half. It wasn't just that there were holes for Henry. It was how easy it was for him to get to the second level.
He definitely ripped through them. I will say there's also something that I think can be said for chemistry. Like, listen, this team didn't really know they weren't going to have DeForest Buckner until, like, Wednesday. They didn't have a practice Thursday. Grover Stewart plays a lot of snaps, but I think almost all of them, given how often DeForest Buckner plays, is, you know, he plays like 80-85%.
He's at the nose instead of the three tackle.
Right, and so I guess Grover was playing a little bit out of position. Or at least didn't have that, and then didn't have the help that he normally has in DeForest. I saw a lot of people tweeting at me today, and it's funny, and I get it, that Grover probably owes a bunch of money to DeForest Buckner now, because that's, you know, he got him paid. And I get why you say that, and I get why you watch it, and maybe that's true. I also think it's maybe unfair to expect that to be perfect the first time DeForest Buckner's out.
That's the thing, though. It's not that it wasn't perfect. It was terrible.
Yeah, but
that's my issue.
But consider the opponent. I mean, you're talking about the toughest running back in the NFL to stop.
If you're gonna be an elite defense, you got to be better than that.
Well, you are an elite defense with DeForest Buckner, with Denico Autry, with Bobby Okereke, with a fully healthy Anthony Walker, with a fully healthy Kari Willis. I mean, the list goes on. They were all playing.
You're not going to be fully healthy at the end of the season. You're just not. And they've actually gotten really lucky.
It's a good point.
On the defensive line this year, they basically had zero injuries on the defensive line this year, and the first time they have two of them at the same time, they go right in the tank. Like, it's just. They're just not quite deep enough yet. Does that mean they're bad? No, it's a very good defensive line. It's driven a very good defense up until this game. This is the one aberration game, I think. But it's not good enough yet.
I guess.
It's got to be better.
So what I would bring up is...
And I think the other thing is, I think the edge rush has been an issue a little bit all season.
Well, for sure. I'm not denying that.
And so that's definitely a spot that gets hit. I think if you have a better pass rush today... And you make Tannehill look bad the way you did in the first game. Henry maybe goes off for 178 yards, but you're probably still in the game.
Yeah, but that's not what they do. The pressure they got on the Titans last time was interior. It was Buckner. It was Autry. Those guys were getting pressure from the interior.
Right, but the reason that they do that is because they don't have the edge rushers.
Fair.
And I'm saying they need to get those guys.
I'm not disagreeing.
Or they need to have the guys they have play better. And actually, Ballard said that himself. Ballard said it himself at the beginning of the year. He said, at the end of the draft, they hadn't picked anybody. We asked him about it, and he said, we've got a lot of young guys. We need some of them to step up. And there's still that way. I mean, Tyquan Lewis has stepped up.
In a way, yeah. Even though today he didn't look good.
He didn't, but he had five tackles. He had a tackle for loss. He did okay.
Again.
Considering what was around him.
Most of the tackles were going 6-7 yards downfield.
But Tyquan Lewis, they need those guys to be better. They just do. They need them to step up more.
I agree. I will say, okay, so one good example, I think, is you look at an elite run, an elite defense like the Chicago Bears. And they lost Eddie Goldman, who opted out ahead of the season. They've just never been able to replace a guy like Eddie Goldman. Their run defense hasn't been very good, or at least it took them a long time to figure it out. Some guys are just irreplaceable.
Yeah, but their front's still good enough to, like, dictate things to some.
Sometimes, but sometimes they've gotten run over by other teams, too. Like, again, you just... DeForest Buckner is a special, elite player. there's just not a lot of things you can do to overcome it. And if you did, you'd say, well, okay, we can do it with Danico Autry. Oh, not there either. Like, your backup plan wasn't even there, really. He was your three technique last year. He's who you would have put in there without DeForest Buckner.
Maybe. And the Rams obviously can't lose Aaron Donald.
Right. Just, oh, they would go to, yeah.
But it can't be 450 yards and 35 points. It just can't. It's got to be better than that.
I agree. You're not wrong.
You need to get one quarterback hit. Just one. That's a defensive line.
Well, they do. They did a really good job protecting. And again, to your point, you haven't even brought it up yet, which I thought you would kind of punch me in, like use it as a jab, is that the Titans were playing without two of their starting left tackle, the backup left tackle, and a banged up Roger Saffold, who entered the game as questionable at guard.
And the center's hurt, too.
Ben Jones, yeah.
It's a pretty banged up offensive line.
Yeah.
They're on their third left tackle. They dominated them last time. And I get it. They don't have those guys, but I'm just saying, like, you need to have better players there to step in. Are they going to be on Buckner's level? Of course not.
No.
But it's got to be better. Like, no offense. Like, I've liked what Taylor Stallworth has done this year. But no offense to Taylor Stallworth, he can't play 40 snaps for you.
No.
He just can't.
And maybe you're right. Maybe you need to find it.
And Cassius Marsh definitely can't.
Well, no, he can't play for the Jaguars, so that's not what you want. But again, that's an indictment of Ben Banigou. The fact that Ben Banigou was inactive today, by the way, while they were so banged up along the defensive line, that guy is...
I think there's more reason to be concerned for him than there was for Lewis and for Ture before him.
Why?
Well, Lewis was hurt basically for two full years. And with Ture went through this in his rookie year. He went through this stretch in his rookie year and then ended up playing again at the back end. But he had four sacks that year, in this year that they went away from him. Banigou has no sacks, hasn't done anything, can't beat up Cassius Marsh, and he's not hurt. He hasn't been hurt. And that's bad. Like, there were mitigating circumstances. Like, Ture right now has not been productive this year and isn't playing very much, but it's because he shattered his leg after looking good. Like, that's a reason. Tyquan Lewis was hurt. That's a reason.
I think the real comparison here is Quincy Wilson. It's a different position, but that's what I think we're looking at.
I mean, it fits. Like, Quincy Wilson even actually had some injuries. Ben Manigou right. doesn't really have any injuries that to have held him back. I think there's real concern there. And you know, without getting too much in the weeds, I wonder if some of that is you take a guy thinking he's going to play strong side linebacker and be a sub pass rusher, and it turns out he's a defensive end. And did you really like him as a defensive end if you took him as a linebacker? These are questions that I would like to know.
Well, we'll put him on the list for our like 87 questions for Chris Ballard at the end of the year.
But yeah, it's not looking good for him right now, especially being active today. Again, as I said, you're basically down to four guys that you've counted on this year for big snaps. And he still can't get on the field.
It's a huge indictment of Ben Banigou. I'm not sure if we see him again this year at this point. I mean, if not today, when? Like, it wasn't going to happen. So we're going to have some major questions to ask. Again, I think Chris Ballard, maybe we've asked Eberflus. He does, you know, he does the normal song.
He says practice habits.
Practice, always.
The thing about it is, like, it makes it sound like the problem I have with that is it makes it sound like I think the guy's not working hard. And I don't really think that's a problem with Banigou. I just don't think he looks very good in practice. I think that's what Eberflus is really trying to say.
Well, and we'll find
out. He doesn't look good enough in practice to play on Sundays.
Chris Ballard doesn't usually dress up his words like Matt Eberflus will during a season. And again, he's a coach. I understand why he's doing it. But at the end of the year, when Chris Ballard is giving his evaluation of the team, I don't expect him to protect anybody, really. I think he usually tells us what he thinks of these guys. And I think we'll finally learn where the Colts are at Ben Banigou. Even though he might give him that, like, we thought was an ultimatum, didn't end up being an ultimatum, but that, like, Tyquan Lewis, like, you got a big training camp ahead of you.
The thing is, we don't know, because Tyquan looked good. Like, he'd looked bad in training camp, maybe it would have been an ultimatum.
Right, exactly. So we'll have to find out what that is with him, but we've gone, like you said, we've gone in the weeds on a guy who actually didn't contribute to a bad Colts performance today, because he really wasn't on the field, so it's not his fault.
Then he did, because they couldn't get him on the field.
Yeah, that's fair. But, yeah, that's true. I was disappointed in the...
Man, this is Mean Joel. You're, like, bringing up Mean Joel tonight.
Well, it's because we have to... Again, I'm usually not an injuries or an excuse guy. I usually like to see the coach game plan around them. But with the... Again, Buckner, they didn't really know about until Wednesday. Autry, I'm sure they probably knew earlier because they knew he had COVID. He had symptoms, which, again, we know for sure now because he would have been eligible to play if he didn't. They just had to kind of work around those things, and they had to work around them weird on a holiday week. It was strange. And then offensively, we haven't even got into this yet, but working around Ryan Kelly is one thing. Like, he's already a great center, a guy who is like they call quarterbacks the field generals on the field, but like Ryan Kelly, like the center is the field general of the offensive line. He is the one identifying blitzes a lot of the time and adjusting protections and doing all those things. And instead of him, you have a rookie named Danny Pinter, who has played 27 snaps this season, mostly as the extra defensive or offensive lineman in jumbo sets. He never played center in college. He didn't have a preseason. This guy's got almost no experience. You really have to protect him if you're Frank Reich. And then you lose Anthony Costanzo, and then you have to protect LaRaven Clark on the left side with backs and tight ends. You're playing with one hand time behind your back now on offense. You don't even have a running game you can really rely on, because one of the biggest reasons, Quentin Nelson is definitely playing through some injuries. We didn't get a chance to talk to him today, but he was on the injury report with back and ankle issues, and he looks like a guy with back and ankle issues.
I think LaRaven Clark, I think this is something that Colts fans have been saying all year, and I think it's a valid criticism. Like, I think Chris Ballard could have done more at swing tackle. I think he could have. I think they counted on LaRaven Clark, and there might have been somebody you could have added. I don't know if there was a draft pick that maybe you liked, or if there was some free agent you could have signed.
Yeah.
But you could have done more to replace Joe Haig. The Ravens really struggled twice. I mean, the first time it was Myles Garrett. This time it was Harold Landry and his 3.5 sacks. Yeah. And the first series he was in there.
Yeah, you could see it.
You could see it. And it's really hard to find good tackle depth. Like, there's no teams that have it.
I was going to say, right now you're asking Ballard to have a perfect 53-man roster. And
but that's sort of what the thing is.
But it's not realistic. It's just not. No sort team of, is perfect.
But, like, you still could have added somebody. You could have added more competition than Chaz Green.
I guess. I mean, if you weren't spending $40 million at quarterback, maybe you could. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Bucs got Joe Haig for like $4
million. I know. Well, but we...
Colts fans would have been a lot happier if Joe Haig was going in.
We know why that was.
Well, he wanted... Yeah, I'm not killing Ballard for losing Joe Haig. I want to make that clear, because people keep bringing up like they just let him walk away. They didn't.
They offered him the same amount of money.
He wanted to start.
Yep. And he thought he might have the opportunity, and then they drafted
it wasn't the draft.
Right.
It was a month before the draft.
And then they drafted Wirfs. But still,
So he thought he was going to have a chance to start, which he wasn't going to get here. So, like, I get that, but somebody like him, I don't know who it is, but, you know, maybe you could have added another player. Maybe. For the vet minimum.
All right, so you're going to kill him for not having a better backup center than Danny Pincher, too?
No. I haven't looked at it enough. Other than the snaps, I don't necessarily know for sure that Pincher was terrible.
Well, I showed you him getting blown up on a two-point conversion.
That's one play, though.
I agree.
I can't.
And that guy dominated.
The biggest mistake you can make is killing linemen for one play.
I agree. But also, I said between the low snaps and then that play, again, I don't have all the – I got to rewatch. But I thought Pincher – and again, we asked Philip Rivers about him. He said he was fine. And I he's going to say that no matter what. But I guess that it's game planning without – I haven't even mentioned Jonathan Taylor, by the way. Who did seem to have a bit of a breakout game against Green Bay, and whatever, this is a Hines game. You probably could have done it without him. It's probably not a huge loss for today's game. But I do want to mention all the people they were playing without. Also, Philip Rivers, by the way, playing with a pretty sore big toe from all indications. He was still limping on the field today while we were watching him. Again, you play through pain. I get that. It's the NFL. But if your left tackle is out, your left guard is playing like half of the all-pro that he is, and your center is out, it's pretty hard. And by the way, I'm sure Braden Smith's thumb is still not like perfect right now, but whatever. Like, I just don't. If there's a game plan to overcome Buckner and everything they have in the offensive line, that game plan should be in the Hall of Fame.
I actually think the offense wasn't too bad today.
It
wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
They scored 14 points off the bat with a healthy Costanzo.
And then they lost Costanzo.
And then that was it until garbage time. So yeah. I wasn't that impressed.
But I didn't think it was. I had bigger problems with the way the defense played than the way the offense played today.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, defense was worse, but I'm just saying, like, you were severely limited on both sides of the ball against a pretty quality Titans team, even with the injuries they were dealing with.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the thing, though. We brought this up with the defensive line. Like, Kelly's out, obviously, okay. The Titans are past LaRaven Clark at left tackle.
Yeah, they're on the Chaz Green, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. They're onto the Chaz Green. I think that was David Questenberry's first start of his entire NFL life. They've got a banged up left guard and a banged up center, so that's the same as Quentin.
It's not, because Quentin's way better.
Well, so then they should in theory be even worse, because like if the level comes down.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. they did fine. They were pretty fine, and even the Colts defensive line injuries, like the Titans are a bad defensive line that didn't have Jadeveon Clowney. So, like, I'm just going to ask for a little bit more. Like, they've got to be able to handle it a little bit better.
The offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were the one who was kind of more okay with the offense than me. I just, like I said, I just don't – as soon as you saw as soon as you saw Costanzo go down, the pressure ramped up like a million on the left side of that line. And again, if you're protecting Pinter and you have to protect Clark, I don't know what you're supposed to do in the past.
Well, and Rivers clearly, like, that's been the book on Rivers all season. Yeah. It's really the book on most quarterbacks. If you pressure them, it's hard. Well,
especially the immobile ones. You can, we've seen it with Brady on national TV 100 times. You pressure him, it's over. The game's over. And that's what happened. Again, with Rivers, you saw some of the inaccuracies. You saw some of the drop. It was passes he got to his receivers, but it was late. They were high.
There was also, I think there's also, the receivers who were healthy, so with the exception of Zach Pascal, who I think was really battling something this week.
I agree. I didn't even mention him. Another one.
Receivers weren't great. No, Michael Pittman had a pretty bad game.
I agree.
Zach Pascal had a kind of a bad game, too.
Definitely a couple drops for Pittman.
Pittman had two drops, and I thought he had a miscommunication with Rivers on a play, at least one play. Pascal had a drop. He didn't get through a route.
Sorry, I'm smiling now. You can't see because I have a mask on, but I'm smiling now because the receivers all had a bad game, and finally T.Y. Hilton had a good game. It comes.
Right. But Pascal didn't get through a route. It led to the Rivers interception. Rivers clearly thought he was going to be there, and it looked like he was trying to make the cut and just didn't make it. Yeah. To me, that's what it looked like to me live.
He just stumbled. I think he turned into the defender, and they just kind of clipped him.
But that just can't happen. It just can't.
Well, I'm not saying he
should turn into a pick. Like the defender recovered and got a pick.
You just want everything to be perfect. Sometimes people stumble.
Yeah, but you gotta finish the route. You just have to finish.
Well, it's
route.
Not like he stopped running. He kept going. He just was way behind it now.
You got to figure out a way to get in and out of your break clean so that doesn't happen. Not a good game for the receivers. I would a C performance for the receivers.
I don't know who it was a good game for. Who played a good game today?
I thought Kari Willis before he got hurt played okay.
That poor guy. He's got injuries everywhere in his body.
I know.
Everywhere. I know. What did he entered with what? Shoulder, rib, right?
He entered with rib, shoulder, and then he hurt back quad.
Back.
His whole torso is in trouble.
He's like a human. What's it called? What's the one we have to pluck the things out of the? What's the game where you have to pluck the things out of the?
So I'll go Kari Willis.
You're not gonna play this game with me?
Oh, operation.
Operation.
He's like, I didn't know, and I was just gonna pass through. Like, it, so like, I didn't seem crazy.
He's like a human operation.
I was gonna ignore it so that I didn't seem dumb. But it came to me. I thought Kari Willis. I thought Trey Burton was good early.
Oh yeah, Trey had a pretty good game. Look at you. See, I'm trying to make you feel positive now.
Nyheim Hines in the receiving game.
Yeah.
And then I think I'm done.
Brayden? I don't think Brayden had a bad game.
I have no idea. Well, that probably means good.
Exactly what I'm saying. I
think. Oh, Jacoby Brissett had a good game.
Yes, he did.
Fullback Jacoby Brissett.
Don't do that. Joel's just mad. He's about to lose this bet.
Jim, what?
What do we,
four carries for 3 yards and two touchdowns. What does that sound like, Jim?
John Kuhn.
It sounds like John Kuhn.
Touchdown stealing John Kuhn.
It sounds exactly like John Kuhn.
God, I can't wait. I can't wait till Jonathan Taylor owners finally, like fantasy owners, start putting him back in games and Jacoby Brissett's like picking up 1 and 2 yard touchdowns.
Just oh, no, that's definitely going to happen.
The old John Kuhn.
That's 100% going to happen.
Brissett, I guess that's a great call. Brissett did, we'll talk on
this. They were 4-for-4 in the red zone, which they've been bad in all year.
Yeah.
That's how they get the 26 points when the offense doesn't play that good.
And two failed 2-point conversions. Yeah, it was mostly garbage time those last couple touchdowns.
Yeah, they're still touchdowns.
You have a weird way of spinning positives into negatives and negatives into positives.
Yeah, that's what this is going to be. This is what this podcast is going to be. Just like
antagonistic.
I don't feel like this game was as bad as people are going to make it out to be.
That I agree with. But for different reasons, apparently.
But I also don't want to just give them like the I shouldn't put it that way because that is taking a shot at you.
That's
and I'm
fine.
Not trying to.
We disagree. It's fine.
I just don't want to like chalk it all up to injuries because you still got to find a way to win it.
It wasn't happening today. It was never going to happen.
See, there it is. Jim says they're just not. They just didn't have a shot. There was no shot.
Not without five of their best players, three of them hurt and two of them playing banged up. Our most important players. So even though I would put Phillip Rivers on their best players list as well. He's played really well this season.
Well, he's definitely been the most important player of the offense.
He's definitely the most, like, if you can do most important player, it's always quarterback, no doubt. So he's not.
Well, I actually think, like, last year the backup was Hoyer, so it still would have been true. But,
that's a capable backup, obviously.
You know, in San Francisco, if the quarterback goes down, it's not as big a deal. But here, I think we all know that if it's Rivers to Brissett, like, you're not going to see. I also think that the passes we've seen Jacoby throw this year has confirmed it.
Well, that was like the Jets game, pretty much only.
And today.
He didn't throw one. He just ran.
He threw two. He threw two on the final drive when you were writing.
I did not even look up for that part of the game.
Neither looked good.
Okay. I didn't even know he was in at that point. If, again, for you guys at home keeping track and supporting me, those plays don't count on the Jacoby Brissett tracker.
No, they don't.
Because
they
have to be part of the special
package. But
you're
fine. You're definitely going to win the
I'm
bet.
I'm at 12 through 11 weeks. I'm ahead of the pace now. I know.
You might win the bet next week.
I will tell you this, and I'll tell you guys this, because I talked to Frank. I wrote the story. I talked to Frank Reich on the got him on the phone, and we talked about it. That Jacoby Brissett package is going to evolve. It's going to be more. He's going to throw.
Well, and they started doing it a little bit today. They tried to go with a throw on fourth and one.
And he scrambled for the first down.
And he scrambled for the first
down. Like the athlete that he is. Non-fullback, I would say. And then nursing John Kuhn do that, Joel.
You're actually like.
Play action and scramble for a first down.
He never scrambled for a first down, but John Kuhn like was the Packers' lead running back for a game. So I'm going to put that in the same category.
Okay. We'll see.
Fullback Jacoby Brissett.
Like I said, I don't want to give away too much, but there's going to be some.
Don't have a fullback. I say.
It's Jacoby Brissett.
He wears number 7.
They will have some. I think there'll be some trickery even. We'll see with some of that. Hey, again, I think we kind of saw some of the trickery last time. I don't think you've. Have you ever seen. I asked Reich this when I talked on the phone. Have you ever seen a team sub in the quarterback after the play has been called? Ever?
No.
I've never seen that either.
No. That's different.
Reich said he'd never seen it either, but I didn't know like if you had come across it and again.
But. No, I haven't come across it. And a lot of it is because like the early part of the Taysom Hill package I saw, Breeze was always on the field.
Right.
So that's normally how it goes.
I hate that. I hate two quarterbacks because then Breeze is useless. I want to use all my guys to help block and set up a play. I don't want one useless player on a play.
I like it if you do it the way the Colts did it earlier this year where you shift the guy in, although it wasn't two quarterbacks.
Yeah. And they didn't do it today, by the way. They were just clean subs at that point.
The only way I would like it is if you like had Drew Brees stand there, basically unguarded, like 15 times in a row, and then on the 16th time, you did a throwback pass. All of a sudden, I'd be like, "Oh, that's fun."
That's probably in their playbook too.
But they never did that.
You're right. I never got to it, but yeah, you're right. The Jacoby package, which I will refuse now to call the slow pony at this from going forward.
He's still slow.
But it's not the slow pony. It's the touchdown express.
I'm sticking with the slow pony.
Touchdowns and first downs, man. That's all he's picking up. Admit that. Admit it.
Pretty much. Got stopped once today. 4 carries for 3 yards means he got stopped for at least once.
He snuck in.
I don't know. He has 4 carries for 3 yards in the stat sheet.
He snuck in 2 touchdowns and he scrambled for 1. What was the other one?
Completely unsure.
No, it was another quarterback sneak in midfield, 4th and 1, and he picked it up. They just didn't give him the yard. He had 2 quarterback sneaks for a touchdown.
That's not statistically possible.
A scramble for 1 yard and a quarterback sneak for a first down.
It's not statistically possible to have 0 yards on a run that you get the first down on. It's not.
Not even if it's like an inch?
Nope.
They give you the yard?
No, because the way the stat thing works, you're still on. Like say you're on the 39 and you need to get to the 40. If the ball is on the 39 and the 3/4 yard line, in the stat thing it's on the 39.
Tell me where I'm wrong then. Don't I have all these plays right?
I am just telling you what the thing said.
Okay, I'll have to look at the plays later. But I'm pretty sure he had 2 quarterback sneaks for a touchdown, a quarterback sneak on a 4th and inches.
I don't remember him going negative other than the sack he took, which wouldn't count for his rushing anyway.
Right. And then he had to scramble. So I don't really know where that would come.
I don't know how that happened.
It shouldn't be 4 and 3. It should be 4 and 4, I would guess. Efficiency.
Fullback.
Thy name is Jacoby Brissett.
Fullback. John Kuhn. Jacoby Kuhn.
I can't wait. Now, see, by the way, listeners, Joel's going to try to cheap out and buy me some terrible beer. You guys should give him hell for that. I don't care. I told him if he gets
No. I said I would buy the bet was to buy you 1 beer.
It was.
I'm going to buy you 6 beers, but it's going to be Milwaukee's best.
If it's Milwaukee's best, I'm not kidding you. I'm going to shower in it and like take a take a picture of me just celebrating like just like maybe like an old Stone Cold Steve Austin and just pour the beer over my head.
So you're getting more beer.
Well, not really.
It's not really.
I'm getting more
really
water.
Drinkable.
I'm giving more water.
It's not really drinkable. That's the problem.
The 6 cans combined might have enough beer in it, alcohol, to make it a beer. But anyway, we digress.
It's the First Impressions podcast. This is what happens.
It does. It is. I honestly like special teams wise. They kind of there's not a lot to go on. They didn't actually.
Well, I mean, they somehow gave up an onside kick
touchdown
return for a touchdown.
Totally forgot about that.
But that's kind of a fluke thing. I mean, I didn't like that. Their onside kick looked that bad.
No. Oh, I will say, too, it bears mentioning that Rigoberto Sanchez apparently is dealing with some sort of injury to his foot.
Yeah, that's a concern.
It wasn't on the injury report, You must have, I'm assuming he means he heard it yesterday or today.
I have no idea.
Was good enough to punt and punt okay, I thought, but not to kick off. They had Blankenship.
And I thought you could tell a little bit with his punting. It didn't quite look the way he normally does.
No. But I didn't notice anything, like, I didn't think they were, like, super short punts or anything like that. So he played through the pain, whatever that was. And he did do the onside kick. That was him. So, right? Yes. That was him on the onside kick.
I gotta be honest, I'm not sure.
He wears number 8, right?
Yes.
Yes, then it was him. Sorry, I'm blanking right now. It's late. Not really. Again, I don't have a ton of critiques because I just don't think there's a lot to invest in this game. I'm more of a burn the tape kind of a guy when it comes to really horrible bad games. Again, I will say there's some guy, you know who could use some tape watching? Rakusen.
Yes.
Too many penalties.
Yes. We're going to have to ask about that and hope we get something. It's outside of that interception, it's been pretty bad the last couple of weeks.
Last couple of weeks have been bad. I say he was progressing. He was having a decent, like, improved season from last year, and then it's been kind of downhill the last couple of weeks.
It's been pretty bad couple of weeks.
He did get benched, but he did get put back in. I think they were just benching him for a few series, I'm guessing. They put TJ Carey in.
Give him, I don't know. We'll have to ask. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, even if he does not, I don't think he's going to say whether or not the guy's been benched.
I'd really like to have Jonathan Gannon.
Well, he might say.
We're about due for assistant coaches at some point.
Okay, well.
The biggest thing going forward, here's the part where our divergent viewpoints on this game come together.
Nice, I like it. Okay, good.
Is the most important thing going forward is what happens with all these injuries.
Right.
Is Ryan Kelly back next week? Is Anthony Costanzo able to play? Are DeForest Buckner and Danico Autry coming off the COVID list? That's what matters the most.
Yeah, as far as Costanzo, we don't know much other than we know it's an MCL.
We know it's an MCL, and we know that the Colts were optimistic.
Yeah, Frank Reich said that he thought it wasn't as severe as it could have been.
He didn't think it was the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think that probably means he's not out for the season, would be my guess.
Yes.
Based on what Frank said,
usually what NFL
coach speak means.
Yeah.
There's going to be an MRI. The source that I had on that was saying they weren't sure if it was going to be today or tomorrow. I don't know. On a 1 o'clock game, I would have thought they would try to do it today.
Everything's usually the day after.
Okay. So maybe tomorrow morning. That's kind of what they ended up doing, I think, with, Paris Campbell, right? I think feared the worst, did the test. You know what? Somebody asked me, that's something worth mentioning right now. Somebody asked me about Paris Campbell on Twitter, and I don't remember. Frank?
Someone asked me, and we just haven't asked in a while.
I thought Ray gave an answer a couple weeks ago. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm crazy. He didn't give an answer? I think he just said, like, they were not ruling him out for the year yet or something.
That's been the company line.
Okay. We'll maybe try again if people are curious. He's honest to God. If you want an update on Paris Campbell, just follow him on Twitter. That's kind of where he's been kind of tweeting about his progress a little bit here and there. And yeah, I don't know. His optimism seems to fluctuate if you're reading between the lines.
Well, that's the thing is, like, somebody asked me about cryptic tweets and I've learned that I don't know song lyrics well enough to know what's cryptic and what's a song lyric over the years. So I try to ignore it a little bit.
I
try to wait for stuff that's like actually explicit.
I don't know what else to say. Let me ask you, barring other than today's game, Grover Stewart, $30 million, a little more than $30 million, 3 years.
I don't hate that deal because it was starting to look like he was going to get more than that based on what other sort of similarly ascendant nose tackles had gotten.
Yeah.
So I think it actually comes out being a pretty good deal for the Colts. And now you have the interior of your defense is locked up with Buckner and Stewart for the next 3 years.
Right. We don't know what Grover is by himself, really, but we know how good he is with DeForest Buckner, so that's good news.
Right.
I think Grover Stewart deserves the benefit of another game, another try at being out there by himself without DeForest
Buckner.
The Colts
hope that doesn't happen.
Correct.
The Colts are sincerely hoping that's not happening.
I don't think it's fair to judge Grover Stewart, though, however, on one game without DeForest Buckner. I don't think that's necessarily fair to him.
Well, especially when his partner is Taylor Stallworth. I'm being so mean to a guy that I've probably been the biggest proponent of all season.
I agree. I will say, too, for Grover Stewart, again, it's something we haven't talked about enough, I think, in general, is that salary cap is probably going to go down next year. I mean, I don't think they've confirmed it yet.
Yes.
It's either going to stay the same or go down. And for him to lock up $10 million on next year's salary cap is a good deal for him. He also is only 27, which means in 3 years, he gets to be a free agent again at 30 years old, assuming the cap is going back up.
Or which has it gone will. Back up. It will.
Yeah.
It will.
So I think the deal works on both ends, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he gets $20 million guaranteed. I don't know what the rest of the defensive tackle market looks like. We just knew that
The other thing is he doesn't have the pass rush profile of some of those other guys.
Agreed.
Like Grady Jarrett, Kenny Clark, those guys have got the big money.
Yep.
He's more of like a DJ Reader who got more than he did. But
right.
But I think Reader had more of a reputation.
I would say Reader was better for longer, I think.
Yeah.
And so that was probably.
So I think 3 years, $30 million is pretty good. We got to see like if they lose somebody else where we felt like they could have had it. But I don't think it's going to hurt their flexibility moving forward.
No, not with the money they have coming off the books. I mean, obviously they have
And if there's anything we've learned from this season, it's that their run defense really does matter to what they do. So
it sets up everything. It's so critical. And again, I know Grover Stewart probably didn't have a great game today, but I wouldn't judge him based solely on that. So we'll see. Like I said, going forward, I think it's probably a good deal for the Colts and for Grover Stewart, obviously, who I don't know. I don't know if Chris Ballard like takes away the contract offer after today's game, but he signed it on Saturday, so there's no takebacks.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, no takebacks. Yep. It's been signed, so it's a good deal for Grover and good guy, obviously. So I like when good people get rewarded with good things. So there's that. Anything else you want to add on this podcast? Because I got.
No, it's just kind of a wait and see on these injuries. It's just where are they next week?
Right. Buckner, we can go over that. I guess he has the potential. If he was symptomatic, he's out for next week.
Yes.
If he was asymptomatic, he can play next week.
Yes.
So we'll I don't know when we'll find out. We found out maybe a day earlier than I think we thought we'd find out with Autry, because I think he was eligible to come off on Saturday.
I think it's most likely we find out on Friday.
He told us on Friday for DeNico as well, so maybe that's when we find out about Buckner. When is
Jonathan Taylor, we'll find out. I think on Thursday we'll have an idea, because if he doesn't test positive, he can come off in 5 days.
Right, we do know for sure.
He's placed on Saturday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, I think Thursday, if he's back on the practice report and back on the roster, I think you go.
Okay. So I think we can say without getting in trouble that we don't know if he's tested positive for COVID.
No, he's on there because it's a high risk close contact.
Right. That we do know, I should say. So we
have no idea what his test came back from yesterday, or what his test that he took this morning will come back from. Because once he's on it, the only way we're going to find out if he did test positive is he doesn't come back in the game.
Did you do the math on Buckner? I can't. Wednesday and it's
10. He could play next week if he's asymptomatic.
But that would be Saturday that we would technically he'd be back?
Friday or Saturday-ish, yeah.
10 days from Wednesday of this week?
I think so.
Their past week? Okay, that's interesting math. But yeah, he would be back.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So my point would be they wouldn't have to tell us until Saturday, but they might tell us Friday, which they did with DeNico. Right. Who else do we need to go? Ryan Kelly, we don't know. Costanzo, we're going to probably find out tomorrow more. Kari Willis, the same.
Philip Bobby Okereke, we're going to find out as the week goes on, I think.
Yeah, Philip Rivers looks like he'll keep playing through the toe. Yeah, I think we kind of went over everybody, all the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like I said, you're right. This season has two different paths now it can take. If these guys are all hurt and out for longer, it could go off the deep end.
They're in trouble.
Bad. And if they get some of these guys back, they can beat Houston. We've talked about this 100 times. I'm sure you guys are sick of me hearing say this. Sean Watson, if you guys watch him on Thanksgiving, that team can put up some points on you if you're not paying attention.
Well, so here's the thing, is these last, with the exception of the Steelers game, which is a really difficult game that the Colts would be underdogs in, even if they had everybody.
Yeah.
Both Texans game and the Raiders game are games that could go either way to me.
Yep.
And they're both kind of the same game.
Yeah.
It's can you slow down their offense enough? Because their defense probably isn't good enough to hurt you.
Correct. That's true of the Texans and the Raiders.
The Raiders, who got blown out by the Falcons today because the NFL is weird.
And again, they were the one. This is the team that beat the Chiefs and almost beat the Chiefs last week and got blown out by the Atlanta Falcons.
They lost by 37.
I don't understand the NFL. Don't bet on the NFL. It's bad.
That's also why it's kind of a mistake to look at the wild card and just assume that all the teams that they're battling in the AFC are going to win every game the rest of the way, because they're not. The Dolphins lost a game to the Broncos that no one thought they would lose.
Right.
The Raiders lost a game to the Falcons.
Dolphins look like they're maybe on tilt right now because they barely beat somebody bad today.
No, they beat the Jets by 17. It took a while to get going.
That's right. It was Cleveland who barely beat Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Cleveland has 8 wins, and they're probably going to make the playoffs, but they've been real shaky the last couple weeks.
The Colts, again, if you're doing wild cards, that Raiders game looms quite large in terms of tiebreakers and how you want to do that stuff. So
And a lot of it depends on which Raiders team shows up, and I don't know how to know that.
No one knows. Well, I mean, the best thing for the Colts is that they're horrible dealing with the COVID situation, so likelihood is that they'll all be suspended by then, and they'll be playing a team that's like half of, you know, what they should be. So Yeah, the NFL's already punished them and the Saints.
I think the Raiders have the Jets next week, and that's like a like an obvious survivor pick, but is it now?
I don't know. I'm not helping you with that because I would have picked the Raiders against the Falcons today, and that would have been bad. I also would have picked the Rams to beat the 49ers. Didn't happen. So, anyway, it's a weird one. We will, like I said, this week is going to be – I feel like we're gonna do some bigger picture stories, but this week is going to be a lot of injury updates. It's going to be a lot of who's healthy.
Yeah, this is a very newsy week. Yeah.
Newsy week. So pay attention to your Twitters and IndyStar.com. We'll have all of that for you. And, yeah, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll be back again on Thursday. We were early last week, obviously, because of Thanksgiving, but we'll be back again on Thursday to preview another monster AFC South game for the Colts.